to this.
Today, NBC and ABC laid off 30% of their force. Thomas, why was I'm sure to like
please hang up.
Okay, fine. So you want to... So B'Shem Hashem Na'aseh V'Natzliach, this week, the title is Lion Taming. So how to deal with your spouse's anger. Asabonyet. This week I had quite a few couples with these problems. I wish they would come to the class. They've saved a lot of time. Anyway, I mean, we don't want to go through the whole. I could talk about the anger hours and hours, just using in our sources. Just in my Sunday class we had this week, that every time Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, he forgot all the halachot. We are now in Parashat Matot. There was this war with the Midianites, and then some basic halachot. The Torah says that Elazar, the son of Aaron, he says this is what Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, giving the details of the laws. And obviously Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there, so how come he's not teaching it himself? So the Talmud, the Gemara says, you see from here that whenever a person gets angry, all their Torah, Chokhmah, wisdom, everything is forgotten. We see each time Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and I think there are three episodes of anger of Moshe Rabbeinu written in the Torah, and each time you see that, that anger caused him, that he didn't know the laws, basic laws that he was a teacher, he had forgotten. The Gemara tells us that when Hashem decided to replace Shaul, King Saul, with the new king, so Hashem sent Shmuel HaNavi, Samuel the prophet, right, to go to the house of Yishai to choose, and he didn't tell him which one of the sons of Yishai is going to be the king. So Shmuel HaNavi goes there, he goes to the house of Yishai in Bethlehem, and he tells him, look, I don't know which one of your sons, I have to see, I'm going to have a revelation to see which one, I need to see your sons, because Hashem has sent me to come and pick the next king of Israel. So he goes there, and so first comes Eliav was the oldest, and Shmuel HaNavi was sure that this is it. Shmuel HaNavi was sure that he looked royal, he looked whatever it takes that you could imagine in a perfect thing. But then Hashem has a revelation to the prophet, to Shmuel, and he says, this one, I'm disgusted with him. Why was he disgusted? So the Gemara says, because this Eliav was an angry person. When David went to kill Goliath, so over there, it says when he said, I'm going to go to fight with him, so he was the older brother, and he got all angry at him. So the Gemara says, see, if not for this, for anger, so he would have been the king. So you see, a person could lose even monarchy because of anger. And the Gemara goes on and on and on. The Zohar HaKadosh says that all kinds of impurities, there is a way a person could purify himself and he's going to be fine, except anger. The Gemara says when a person gets angry, so then the neshama, his holy soul, leaves his body, and instead there's a huge vacuum there. Instead, all the negative forces, the klipot, ruach ra, whatever, come and dwell in that person. And it says even if he goes to all the oceans of the world and the there's no way that he could regain, right, his spiritual, you know, status what he had before he got angry. And more specifically, when it comes to, you know, the topic of our, you know, about relationships, the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Masechet Sota, I alluded to that before, that it says that a household, right, temper, uncontrolled temper enters it. It's like you have worms in sesame seeds. That nothing is salvaged. Right, if this thing, I think we have to get rid of this. So if this gets, some areas you could salvage something, but sesame seeds, this is the figure of speech that the Gemara picks to give us that message, to what extent. Anger in a relationship, it's destructive. So tonight, I would like to share with you another beautiful article by Dr. Meir Wickler. And you see, you know, I got a lot of good material from Esh.com. They have beautiful articles about, marriage, etc. So there are, I was, scanning through it, and I found this one. Maybe it would be, I had plans to talk about anger. So I think this would be a good, good start at least. And he distinguishes between two stages. He says there is, I'm going to be quoting a lot from him, from Insta, because I don't want to miss. So he says, as I told you before, he's a religious Orthodox doctor, right, with a lot of practice, with over 30 years of practice. And he has a book that I'm... Thank you. So the name of the book is 10 Minutes a Day to a Better Marriage, Getting Your Spouse to Understand You, and it's an art scroll book. And the name again is Dr. Meir, Meir Wickler, Wickler. So he says we have to differentiate between two stages. One is during the episode and one is after. Right. And it's very interesting. Just this week I had two or even three couples that, I think this is what destroys their marriage. One of them, they are separated already 8 months, and the husband wants very much to get back. And I just this afternoon I told her, I said, look, before he enrolls in a serious, therapy for anger management, I cannot really recommend that you should get back. Because you see, this is something that really, literally could ruin marriages, and we don't have kids yet, so, Anyway, so it says, during the episode, your spouse has lost control. He or she is shouting at you. You're wondering how long this will last, and you're hoping that your spouse's hostility will not escalate any further. Right. Your entire body is tense, your throat is getting dry, and your heart is pounding. You want to press a button to end this episode, which doesn't happen. And you see, the Gemara tells that, that anger is a killer. Anger physically, aside from all the other side effect. So while there is no magic button, the following is a list of first measures to take whenever your spouse loses control. And it could happen either way. It could happen sometimes, it's the husbands that have this problem, and sometimes the wives. And sometimes it's a real arusi when both of them have temper. That's shemais. Right, this is
happens every day.
We have had neighbors like that, and
it's all about nothing.
Well, not upstairs, Lane. My upstairs is my brother.
Okay.
So what to do and what not to do. First of all, there are a few lot, you know, the mitzvot aseh ve lo ta'aseh. The mitzvot aseh, the positive commandments, we're going to leave for the last. And what I like about it, he brings that kind of cases. So it makes it very real. First of all, right, when this tantrum, like, you know, takes place, do not attempt to quiet your spouse. Right, you see, you know, it's going to be counterproductive. It's like, you know, relax, calm down, this, that. It's not going to help. It's really, you know, he says it's like just, you cannot douse a fire with gasoline, so too, you cannot put out the flames of hostility by asking your spouse to lower his or her voice. By the way, you should know, controlling the voice, it's very, very helpful in controlling anger. Ramban in Geret Ramban, he says like, you know, it's, and it does magic. There is also Kabbalistic reasons for it. We're not going to get into it, but he says like, you know, that's, you know, don't ever raise your voice. Raising the voice, this is something that could even, you know, cause anger. So first of all, this is the first mitzvah lo ta'aseh. Don't do this. Do not attempt to quiet your spouse. Two, do not retaliate. A lot of times, like, you know, what happens is when you see, like, you know, your spouse, or it could be in any relationship, it could be your co-worker, whatever, we think, like, you know, if we reciprocate and retaliate, this is gonna, you know, it's gonna help. But, you know, Dr. Wickler, he suggests, do not retaliate. Whenever we are attacked, we often try to defend ourselves by counter-attacking, right? When you're confronted in anger by your spouse, your initial reaction may be, hey, I have complaints too. You're not the only one, right? In this marriage, who is dissatisfied, it's retaliating, right? So, while you may feel prompted to lash out in retaliation, this must be avoided. You see, the Gemara, the Shlomo HaMelech was considered Hechacham Mikol Adam. He was considered like the wisest person ever lived. Because, you know, when he became a king, Hashem asked him through a prophet, what would you like? And he asked for wisdom. So he had, right, you know, God-given wisdom. And that's why he has a few books that each one of them really could change your life. Sefer Mishlei, Kohelet. He was considered like, you know, Hechacham Mikol Adam, the smartest person ever, ever existed. So Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, he says, Lashon Raka Tishbor Garev. He says, a soft tongue could break a bone. A bone that it's very strong, right?
Wow.
Lashon raka tishbor gare. I just said that to a certain husband. I told him, look, the Torah tells us what was the material that Hashem made Adam from? This, dust, dirt. What was the material that Hashem made the Chava from, Eve? Bone. The dust is very soft, especially, like, you know, a few tears, some water could melt off. But bone is very, very strong. But you see, it says lashon raka, a soft tongue, could break even a bone that is so strong. Right? This is Shlomo HaMelech says. This is the way, really, really, to, you know, instead of, like, you know, making it into a shouting match, Lashon Raka Tishbor Gare, right? Try to Lashon Raka, to soften the tone of the voice. So he brings here, like, you know, Richard, you know, he brings a case, okay? Richard had been begging his wife Rosie to curb her generosity and extravagance when buying gifts. One day, Richard lost control when he received the monthly credit card statement. in a lot of marriages, when the male brings the credit card, arusia, right? I can imagine like the husband like, you know, opening the credit card and she gets tense. Anyway, so this is something like, you know, situations that should be anticipated and beforehand to like, you know, to come to certain like, you know, conclusions, not to let this, you know, when the credit card comes, to become a whole event. I think the one thing would be, I think, for usually it's the ladies, I guess, you should prepare their husband. They're looking out.
So I use the credit card.
What?
I use the credit card just to wait for the mail.
You should expect a 5-digit bill, right?
The zero is so many zeros.
You see, I mean, you see, all the whole financial thing, it's, you know, it's, you know, I usually advise couples, like, you know, to have, you know, everything should be in its one checking account. All their incomes should go into the same checking account. It's not right, but ladies, you know, if they work, they have their own money, their own, you know, it has to be oneness. But at any rate, let's go back to Richard and Rosie. He says, So Richard lost control when he received the monthly credit card statement. How many times have I told you, but you know, not with this tone of voice, obviously, that we cannot afford such expensive gifts? Right? So Richard bellowed at the top of his lungs. Please, you know, excuse my, you know, mispronunciations. Anyway, you're spending the money I earn with my blood, sweat and tears. Right? An unnecessary extravagances, right? So his wife, you know, replied, leveling her own hostile counterattack, the same, you try like, you know, not to be your voice be any lower than his, right? That, so what did she tell him? Like, you know, she, the counterattack? So all of a sudden we cannot afford to buy gifts, but last week we had plenty of money when you wanted to have cable television installed so you could watch your stupid sports. For that we have money, but for, you know. So it should come as no surprise that Richard's outburst was not exactly calmed down. Obviously this is going to just, you know, it's going to be a matching, you know, shouting match without, right, and without any constructive results. So this was the lo ta'aseh, the second mitzvah lo ta'aseh. The first one was, what was the first one? The first one was, do not attempt to quiet your spouse. The second was, do not retaliate. And the title is lion taming, right? You want to tame the lion. So this is the second mitzvah lo ta'aseh, don't. Third, do not become defensive. Becoming defensive also, it doesn't, you know. For instance, this is an extremely difficult guideline to follow. Most people are incapable of avoiding defensiveness whenever they are being criticized, right? Automatically, we try to, you know, defend ourselves, especially if they are being criticized in anger. In spite of the difficulty entailed, however, avoiding defensiveness in such an in such an extremely effective strategy for diffusing hostility that must be tried at all times. We think defensiveness it's gonna help, but it's not. It's really, that also would be counterproductive. It says if your spouse is angry with you and you do become defensive, for instance, I did not do it, right? I did not mean to do. What is so terrible if I did it? You do it too, right? So, you know, all these things, you know, it's not, you know, this is not going to help. Four, what we should, yes, try to do, right? And this is, we are talking now at the heat of the fight. This is during the episode, like in the tantrum, right? Then we are going to talk about, like, which is much more, you know, important, like, you know, what happens after. But this is right when the tantrum is, the rage is taking place. So, So we said, like, you know, basically these three don't do's, right? So do not attempt to quiet your spouse, do not retaliate, and do not become defensive. What should be done is try to empathize, right? Empathize, not criticize, right? This is very important, and I just found a good... maybe you could give me a Tehillim, please? Okay, Shab is bringing, okay? Just Tehillim, because I found that, you know, I always have these discussions with my wife, like she's an intern becoming a therapist. But this thing, like, you know, you see, ladies want very much a lot of, you know, you see, they want just their husband. Thank you. They want just to empathize with them. That's it. That's all what they want. You see, as in this beautiful book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, right, Dr. John Gray. So he says usually men, when they're in a spouse, their wives are going to complain about something, so they put on their fix-it cap, and okay, do this, do that, you know, but usually, most of the time, they're not asking for solutions. They just want empathy, right? And I always used to, you know, I always when I have discussions, and I say, I want to see a source. And a source by me, it's either Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, or the Talmud. You know, all this psychobabble, whatever, it's not my, you know. So I found that David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, David Tehillim, he talks about this. David HaMelech says, where's the Samech Tet? Samech Tet, he talks about Samech Tet, where was that? Right. He says, Cherpar Shavra Libi Va'anusha. It's like he's talking about, like, you know, that he was in terrible, like, you know, pain. He was very lonely, being chased, etc. So then David HaMelech says, Va'akave Lanud Va'ain. Va'akave Lanud Va'ain Vela Menachamim Velo Matzati. Menachem means somebody who consoles. Right. Usually, if a boy is born in the month of Av, they call his name Menachem. Menachem Begin, the late Israeli prime minister, he was born in Chodesh Av, so called him Menachem. His name was Menachem. Menachem is somebody who consoles. So David HaMelech says, okay, I was looking for people to console me, and there was nobody to console me. But he says something else also. He says, Va'akavel lanud va'ayin. What does it mean, Va'akavel lanud va'ayin? Metzudat David, one of the commentators on Tehillim, he says, I just needed somebody to come, just to shake his head, like, say, I delam chabzat bisuzet. Right? Lanud, just to nod his head. This is exactly to emphasize. And I didn't even have that. Right? So you see from David HaMelech that, you know, this empathy goes, you know, it's a big relief. And a lot of times that's all what it takes. Right? You know, it's also like, you know, I'm saying, like, you know, a lot of times when ladies complain about situations, it's not, they're not looking for solutions. They just want you to validate their feelings, that you're justified to feel in such a way. This is what David, you know, next time you have this discussion with your spouse, you could quote Tehillim, Samech Tet, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Va'akave Lanud, I was hoping to have Lanud, Minashon Lanud, it's just to shake somebody, that people would just shake their head in empathy, right? And I couldn't find that. Anyway, so this was just the zechut of ladies Wednesday morning Tehillim class. So in this kind of, you know, when your spouse is at that, in the rage and tantrum, so the right thing would to do, Dr. Wickler is telling us, try to empathize, not criticize. Yes, if your spouse has lost his or her temper, she or he is being unreasonable. She or he is blowing something out of proportion and getting much more excited than is warranted, so criticizing him or her for the loss of control, however, will definitely not be in your best interest. What is called for now is plain old-fashioned empathy. What that means is that you must try to let your spouse know that you acknowledge how hurt he or she feels right now. Understand that the tantrum is a desperate attempt to express emotional pain. Right. This is what happens. And you know, and he suggests some techniques, alternative techniques, like, you know, instead of, like, you know, coming to that. But this is, those techniques are not for when the tantrum is taking place. When it, you know, so basically what he's saying, a few things not to do, and the thing yes to do is understand you're very frustrated, and we'll discuss it. In a night, on the time to discuss it. But to acknowledge. And he says, when you do that, you know, so he brings an example again, which I love. He says, Ruth flew into a rage at her husband Max. It was the couple's 18th wedding anniversary, and Max had neglected to acknowledge that special day in any way, right? In previous years, Max had purchased a card, a gift, flowers, whatever. Or all three. This year, however, as a result of an unusual pressure at work, he had completely overlooked the occasion. Instead of trying to come up with excuses, Max tried to empathize with his wife's hurt feelings. As soon as Ruth, stopped to catch her breath, Max acknowledged her feelings as follows. I see that I have caused you a considerable amount of pain by forgetting our anniversary this year, right? It makes you feel demeaned and put down that I do not even buy you an anniversary card. You're probably thinking that I do not forget business appointments because they are important to me. But obviously I'm not, right? Business appointments are important. So if I forgot about our anniversary, it means that it means to you that I just do not care, that our anniversary is simply not that important to me. Max's little speech completely knocked the wind out of Ruth's sails. It's mamash. What did Shlomo HaMelech say? Lashon raka tishbor garem. Lashon raka. A soft tongue could really tishbor garem, could break a hard bone. Right, but you see, it has to be done in a sincere way. Right, it cannot be done like, you know, you're patronizing, right, your spouse, etc. Right, it has to be sincere, and it does wonders. Right, and so these are the things. So three don't do's and one positive commandment. This is at the heat of the lion's rage. From my experience, it's more ladies get into this kind of rages than men. And you see, that's the etzem. We have to realize this is, ladies, in a lot of ways in Judaism, are more perfect than men. That's why ladies, because you see, men are made, the raw material is dust. Ladies, Chava was created from Adam, so this is much more advanced raw material, right? And you see, that's by the way, that's the reason why. See, Judaism believes that ladies, their neshama is more needs less perfection than men. That's what the Torah believes, right? Men and women, both of them are here. They come to this world for what? To come to tikkun. To complete their neshamot. Men need more mitzvot to bring to the perfection of their neshama than ladies. That's why men have more mitzvot than ladies, because the Gemara tells us that the mitzvot were given lo nitlu ha-mitzvot ela letzaref ben tabriyot. The Gemara says the mitzvot were not given, but It's an exclusive terminology. It says lo nitznu ha-mitzvot ela letzaref banat ha-briyot, that the mitzvot were not given but in order to perfect a human being. So if that's the case, and you see that ladies are exempted from a lot of mitzvot. Ladies do not need tefillin. They do not need talit. They don't need it. Men need it. So you see, in a lot of ways, right? In spiritual ways, ladies are the needs. I think I try to be exact the terminology. Ladies need less to come to the shlemut of their neshama than men. But on the other hand, right, ladies are more emotional than men. Right. That's why Hashem didn't want to clone Adam HaRishon. It's Ezer Kenegdo. Right. So because of that, usually I find from my experience, that rage. See, when men get angry, it's much more frightening. But again, I don't claim to have that my experience is scientific. But at least the cases that I'm aware of, a lot of times it's like ladies get more angry, these kind of tantrums, than men. And you have to remember, Shlomo HaMelech says, Lashon Raka Tishbor Garem. Right, that soft tongue could really, if the bone, that hard bone could be treated with the manner of speech. Now then he goes on to, after the episode, like this is why it's happened, right? Now, so you see, a lot of times after such a thing, you think, okay, usually, the person, whoever it is, they are going to, calm down, and they sometimes they become very sweet after that. They try to compensate, depends. And there is a tendency, just to let go of it, right? But Dr. Winkler says that this is a mistake. It's a mistake to because this could just if it's not treated, and there are different ways. Sometimes and a lot of times you really need professional treatment, as the case that I'm just dealing with. Like I told you just a couple of hours ago, she called me and I told her because she asked me. Don't get back together unless he's enrolled in a serious anger management course or treatment that I would approve. Because a lot of times I have experience. I can tell them and they go, it has to be something really professional. But a lot of times, you see, if it's a loving relationship, really they could work on it among themselves, depending on the severity of the case. But you see, one thing is not to think, okay, fine, now everything is after the storm, everything is calm, let's just delete the whole thing and move on. So Dr. Winkler says that, this is not, he does not suggest to do that. He says, first of all, we need to wait. Obviously, how long to wait? He says, in most cases, 24 hours is a good ballpark estimate of how long it takes to clear the air. First, you need some calm, some the air. Even if people are calm, that the air needs to be cleared. So he says 24 hours. Usually, it's a good estimate. Some people, however, may calm down much sooner, while others may need a few days until they have returned to normal. Right. And you see, a lot of times, it becomes very tense, and they don't talk to each other. I know cases of in a few months not talking to each other, living the same house, and it's so such a weird. And you have kids, at home, and what it does to the kids, I don't have to tell you. Right. So you see. The Gemara says, whenever there is a fight or something, the sooner you treat it, the better it is. And the Gemara says, it always reminds me of when I was a kid in Iran going to school, there was a story by Hans Christian Andersen, I think. Some Dutch, it's about a little kid that, the morning, a winter morning, is going to school. And on the way, there they have a lot of these levees, whatever it's called, dams. And it's, there is a small hole and water is starting to come out. And, so he comes and he sticks his finger there and he becomes the hero because he saves the whole city. Because if he would not have stopped that, the whole city would have been flooded. So the Gemara says, a fight is like that. You have to take care of it right away, because the longer you know it goes on, the more difficult it's going to be to take care of it. But as he says, you need you know that the air needs to be clear. But you know, but this so now fine. So when so he's suggesting again that you know, ignoring it would not be right. He says you know, your spouse may be feeling guilty for yesterday's episode. In fact, he or she may even be treating you with more respect, consideration, and affection than you usually receive. In general, he or she is acting as if the explosive outburst never took place. So, but you see, if you deny the incident, you will be spared the discomfort of any confrontation. Right, but we have to. But he says it's short-lived because it's gonna repeat itself. So, on the other hand, if you bring up the episode from yesterday, you may trigger another angry tirade. Is it really worth the risk? You may be asking yourself. Maybe it's better just to delete, forget about it. So he says that unless you do address the issue with your spouse, there is absolutely no chance at all that you will see an improvement. Although there is some risk involved, the potential gain is more than worth it. So what he's suggesting is, right, that, you know, there are two ways to go back and revisit what happened when things are calm. One is to talk about the content, and one is about the process. So he suggests not to go back on the content. What was the thing that triggered the explosion? Whether it was the credit card bill, etc. He says that you know you need to focus on the feelings, and do not. This is the point. If you want to talk about the content, we talk about it at a different time. It's very like you need to know how. Like, you know, how did you feel when your spouse was going through that rage? Right, so he says, focus on process, not content. When you raise the issue of yesterday's episode, you can approach it. Right, so he says, you see, for instance, he gives some examples. You should begin by stating your feelings, right? Tell your spouse how it made you feel when he or she was screaming at you. Say what was on your mind at that time. If your spouse tries to shift the focus of the discussion to the content, like you know, what caused the rage, etc., right, he says, tell him or her that you are perfectly willing to discuss that at another time. Right now, however, you want to address, right, your spouse's loss of control, right, of his or her temper and how you felt when this happened. So you see now, a big rule is that you know, he calls it remove the pot before it boils. You have to be very alert. It's like you know, when you wanna like you know, you wanna I don't know if people do that anymore, like you know, to boil some milk.
Yes.
Yeah. Or you know, I just recently happened to me a few times. We have some matzot left from last Pesach and I put in the toaster oven. Once it burnt, I got busy with something else. And just, you know, the other time I said, you know what, I'm going to sit next to the toaster oven and before I wanted to get like, you know, brown but not burn. So if you have to be exactly when to stop. So it's like, you know, boiling milk. You have to be careful. You want it to boil but not to boil over. So it's the same thing. When you want to when you bring back the episode, like you know, you have to see how far could you push before it boils over, and when you see that you know it's starting to bubble, you have to stop. You have to stop, either change the subject or sometimes you know say okay fine, I see it's not a time to discuss it. Sometimes you need to leave the room, right? But you see, it's very. But the art would be, as he puts it, remove the pot before it boils, right? But you see, the point is that it needs to be discussed. We cannot just, like, you know, if we think, because you see, if there is no, it's going to just continue. It's going to continue, and the risks and the destruction it brings, it could turn a house into a chas v'chayil, like Gehinnom, right? He says, should you succeed in getting your spouse to sit still long enough to hear how his or her tirade made you feel yesterday, you're still not finished, right? There is one final step. Even if the discussion was this, you give the message, right? And you see, we spoke about it last week. Always this kind of discussions should get started with something positive. And there is always something positive that you could say, right? There is no, you remember the first session when we learned Tomer Devora together, Chafetz Chesed, who that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, you know, looks for that positive that, you know, does exist always. So it's always, you need to start with something positive. We could talk about, like, you know, something positive that your husband has, something positive with the relationship, etc. So when you, right, when you bring the thing and, you know, you're careful that, you know, he or she doesn't boil over, so then the last stage would be present clear or alternatives to tirade. We have to tell him, like, you know, for instance, you know, when next time, and things do come up, things in a marriage, I told you, this is like, you know, like living in a submarine. Remember I told you, like in a submarine, like, you know, there is always, you know, friction. That's why people that are serving submarines, they have to go through a lot of, you know, psychological tests, etc. And one of them is, like, you know, temper. Temper, you know, could flare up very easily there. So issues come up. Frictions do come up. It's not possible that, you know, that no friction comes up in a relationship. But so when it's insisted, you need to offer some alternatives that next time the credit card bill comes or whatever it is, right? You know, what would be, right, the alternative mode of dealing with this? One of the main reasons people tend to lose control of their tempers is that they feel helpless, frustrated, and wholly ineffective in communicating their feelings. Just as young children, I think it's a very good analogy, just as young children will resort to hitting when they are incapable of asserting themselves verbally, right? Little kids that, you know, cannot express themselves, so they start hitting each other, like in kindergarten, right? Nursery, etc. So two adults will resort to temper and tantrums when they feel they are not being heard. And one of the primary reasons they are not getting their needs met is that they have not learned how to express themselves clearly and directly. So therefore, if you are married to a spouse who loses his or her temper too often, then you can help by pointing out exactly what he or she could have done differently, right? Offering some alternatives. You need to be very clear and very specific in order to be effective. For example, the next time you feel that way, why not let me know, like, right away? Instead of trying to hold in your feelings and avoiding the subject, if you make an effort to be more expressive, I'll make an effort to be more responsive. Right. See, I told you last week about a case that, you know, came to me, that you know, this couple that, you know, they had gone to visit her mother, and she's and she told me that her husband was very, very understanding and helpful, right? You know, he knew she has Alzheimer's, very, very, very difficult situation. But you see, right after, right, they told me, like, they've gone to New York, whatever, and after they came out, you know, they got into the subway, right? So, I don't know if I told you the details, whatever. So then he took out the Tehillim and started reading. And she exploded. Right. So you see, I told her, if you would have told your husband, right, that, you know, honey, I need to talk, I need to, what do you call it, the one like, you know, the one vent, the one like, you know, we saw that the Melech also says, you need some empathy. And ladies especially, they need, you know, to process after something happens, to talk about it, like, you know, so if you would have, she told me, yes, I think, I told her, look, if you would have asked him, honey, could you please not say Tehillim now? I wanna discuss it. She said, I think he would have definitely, he's very understanding. So, I told you, men are asleep. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam HaRishon to sleep. It doesn't say he woke him up. So, still, from Bereshit, he's still Tardema. So, I mean, what would he, you know, they could, it's just like, you know, to help each other, right? Here's the same thing, like, you know, if you know what, next time before you go into the tantrum, like, you know, talk about your frustration, etc., and I could be more responsive. So this comes from a very, you know, highly professional, right, you know, therapist. And I would just tell you that, you know, unless there is a good relationship and loving relationship, etc., very, just these easy steps, if it's really severe cases, these nice talks would not do it. You need really, okay, fine, there are different types of therapy. Also, I've spoken some therapists that I'm more favor of, they are very directive, some are very analytical, but you see, fundamentally, a lot of them, it's really, you do need that long process of therapy, psychotherapy, that would see what are the roots of these kind of, you know, angers. You can never know what that person, you know, what kind of background they come from, right? It's, you know, I remember early in my career, you know, I never intended to become a rabbi. I got an MBA and I was thinking I'm going to go there, that, you know, that Khomeini ruined my life, right? Because of the revolution, I ended up, you know. So
you're
I had,
happy to hear that.
What? No, you see, I mean, if not for the revolution, probably I would have been in hopefully a successful banker in Manhattan, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to cause less damage. Anyway, so you see, I remember, right, there was this young couple that had gotten married, and this guy would get in a head, a tantrum, and he would, you know, would get angry, and he would break China, whatever this and that. So this guy would come to my Gemara class. I told him, look, we learned together in the Gemara. We learned in the Talmud together that somebody who breaks or throws something at you know, when they're angry, it's mamash like avodah zarah. It's like worshipping idols. That's what the Gemara says. Kol ha-meshaber, somebody who breaks things or throws things or hangs up the phone or slams the door. It says it's like avodah zarah. I mean, it says if he breaks, right? So to him, how could he do that? So he says, what are you talking about? He says, when I was a little kid, when my father would get angry, my mother would bring a plate for him to say, take it, break it. So you see, this is learned behavior. He had, you know, I couldn't believe it. Right. So you see, fine. So he had learned from childhood, this is, if the parents do that, that's halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. My parents did it, right? So you see, my mushroom, that, you know, I couldn't believe it. But you see, a lot of these kind of behaviors are, in it's not spontaneous. A lot of it's learned. You can never know what kind of upbringing, you know, your spouse had. We're already married, we are stuck with each other. I mean, for your kids, you wanna, right? So then you could try to choose, like, you know, I have, you know, when I, you know, different names, whatever suggestions come up for my kids, the first thing I want to know is the relationship with the parents. What kind of relationship the parents had? What was the upbringing? Because it goes very deep. It goes very deep. But, you know, for us that we are married already, it's too late. So we have to be aware. We have to be understanding where it comes from, right? Not always it's spontaneous. A lot of it's also, it's learned behavior. And if these kind of techniques, and I always say, see, a person that has, you know, we are here in this world to work on our midot, to refine ourselves. And you know, the Gaon says, others say, that the characteristic that seems to you the most difficult to work on, the Mekubalim say, this is exactly why you came to this world, to work on that. If somebody says, anger I can't control, we have to know, we came just for that, to work on this. This is the indication what is exactly our mission in this world. Right? And this is the purpose. Now, sometimes, you know, learning Torah, right, if a person has emunah and you see what the Zohar HaKadosh says about anger, that doesn't talk about anything else like anger. Anger is enemy number one. So that could, you know, a person that truly believes that, you know, that getting angry is a sin. So the same way we are so we feel so bad if we, God forbid, we are mechalel Shabbat, or we eat something and it turns out that it wasn't kosher, how bad we feel. Much more so, we should feel bad when we get angry, because this is a much more severe sin than those, right? But you see, if the Musar and learning Halakha, and you know, some of these self-help books which are very good, right, they don't help, the ultimately, you know, therapy, good therapy is worth gold, right? Good therapy is worth gold. Bad therapy, it's a waste of time and money. So it's very important, like, you know, when you want to go to therapy, to find, you know, somebody that comes with recommendations, somebody who has a good track record.
Somebody you're comfortable with.
Sure, the chemistry with the third. But you see, I have a lot of experience. You see, you said that, oh, we went a few times and, you know, not good, you know. Usually the one that has to change would stop going. Mm-hmm. Right? This is the rule. As you know, the therapy is very good when they start telling you what your problems, and yeah, they stop going. This is, in our communities, it's very common. But people that they don't want to change. Right? But you see, it takes, you know, that willingness has to be there. Anyway, so tonight, pretty much most of our class was, again, I'm just give you the source. It's 10 minutes a day to a better marriage, getting your spouse to understand you, by Dr. Meir Wickler, an art scroll book, highly recommended. 10 minutes a day, very good investment for a better marriage. Okay, any questions, comments? Yes.
I was in business and I married. اینه که مرد خیلی بیزنسشون جدی میگیرن و اگه مثلا یه ضرری توش بکنم یه ضرر بالا پایین بشه همش بسن که دفعه دیگه چکار کنم که این اتفاق نیفته. And it would be so nice if they take their marriage و همین کانفلیکت های کوچیک کوچیک رو با خانمشون they would take it seriously because it does hurt them and it hurts them. و همونقدر
I agree with you. I agree with you. I thought it was a very nice quote. It says that, you know, the most selfish thing you could do to yourself is to be nice to your spouse. This is the most selfish thing you could do for yourself. Anyway, have a nice Purim, and I'll hopefully see you next week sober and yes. Any jokes this week? No? Okay, please.
یه نفر داشته قرق میشده یه جاز میزده کمک هیچکی محل نمیده این جاز میزده میگه کمک من شنا بلد نیستم عصبانی میشه ترکی میگه خب من هم تنیس بلد نیستم ولی میبینی من داد بزنم را برم
اوکی عربیت اپستیرز هایی کسی عربیت نخونده عربیت اپستیرز You want to take my secretary wants it. You can bring it back.
Secretary, I'm waiting for it.
Thank you very much.
Rabbi, thank you very much.
Sure.
Can I still ask a question?
Sure.
Okay, so a couple of months ago, I substituted for someone, like as an aide in the school, and she never paid me, and I was like, okay with it. I don't know if I should...
Either you have to be mochelet her, or should remind her?
I don't know, I feel bad because they have a lot of expenses, because like, their daughter is disabled and stuff, so I don't know.
But I mean, the thing was, the understanding was that you're going to get compensated?
Yeah, I'm like pretty sure.
I've encouraged her. Either you have the lev shalem to the mochelet, or you could say it. It's difficult for you, like, you know, that's just like, I don't want you because they owe you.
What's the name of the thing?
You're left.
Right, I feel like I forgive, like, 100%, but I don't know, how do you feel like, okay, I really did forgive, like, I really
must. You could, as I said, say, you know, okay,
well, you have to tell the other party no that you're being mochel, or you could just
no,
yourself.
If you're really, if you're mochel, you don't have to tell them.
Okay.
Probably, I mean, you could use the money.
But like, I don't know, I could totally just say, you know, what's that? So
fine. You could, I mean, it's like you could you resolve that you're, it's like, instead of giving my service.
Okay.
Alright. Sure. Thank you. Sure. Yes, okay. Yes. Sure.
Is there any possibility in Kalat 8:30 Shur Beshe?
Later on it becomes, you know, it's a series, it's going to be a few more, this was the 6th or 7th one, I think 2-3 more sessions.
Mm-hmm. I lost half of the class.
It's everything is on the web, on Torah and web.
What's the website?
It's Torah on web.
Torah on web.
Torah on web.
On web. And you have also a telephone that you can
message. Yes. What's if you want, I have in my office, I have a bookmark with all the information.
Great. Great, we take that.
ערבית מה נכון, אמר לה שאתה חונדי? Fine, if you don't mind after ערבית.
Can I call you, please?
Sure.
I have your cell phone.
Fine, okay. Thank you.
Can I put this in your office?
Please. ערבית הביאה בחוב. עכשיו, מה בר בואי, החמדה סובה כאדם. I'm sorry, it's been very hectic.
I know.
See, I don't know, do you have his number, the Roman Krapkins or something?
No, but...
See, I don't mean...
Many more severe, really, there are few things...
Shmah Arbit Chundi?
But if you give me time tomorrow, I'll give you a call and we'll go over it. There are few things
that are
enough.
Okay. Fine.
Should I have a phone number up here? 69?